we will do, we will say anything. Y'all don't believe it, but you know, you don't have to look to your left or right. You can look straight at me, and you can see all you need to see in terms of wickedness. We are wicked. We are crooked. Yeah, I know he's sitting beside you, but he's crooked. I know she is fine, better than fine, but she is crooked. We are messed up. If you are of Anthropos, you are messed up. And what Genesis has tried to show us is, first of all, how we got that way. So innocent. So there's just a little fruit, you know. I mean, it's almost like one of those pictures, Andy, you know, when we were in high school and we were sucking down that Valley High grape wine. And, you know, just a little fruit, that's all it is. That's all it is. But it can lead to such destruction, utterly destruction. Sin is terrible, folks. Sin got folk sending stuff through the mail, threatening the lives of people that they know they cannot reach. Because sin will make a fool out of you. Sin will make you do some stupid stuff. Sin will make you think that somebody is bothering you when all they doing is going on, getting their groove on, their relationship with God, you know. And you out here with all this hate and anger, and people not even thinking about you. But that's what sin will do, Steve. And you know what? It makes us wicked, and it's everywhere. And don't you fool yourself. Don't delude yourself into believing that I'm okay, you're okay, and we're just going to get along. And all you got to do is pick up the newspaper. All you got to do is turn on the television. All you got to do is mess with that Snapchat, blab, Facebook, hookup, book up, you know, whatever, all that. You know, the kind of people, you know, I shared with you last week, people out there talking about, you know, cussing you out and talking about, praise the Lord, have a nice day. Because they're wicked. Don't let nobody fool you. They just flat wicked. And they got there so innocently. They look so nice. They act so nice. But when they open up their mouth, as a matter of fact, I've gotten to the place, Steve, I don't even want people talking to me now. Because the kind of stuff that comes out of their mouths is just foolishness, it's ridiculous, it's evil. And what they do is that when that stuff starts fermenting and it comes out of the mouth, what happens is they now, when that desire that they have meets an opportunity, we have a mess on our hands. We got bombs going off, we got shootings, we got 90-year-old people dying while just worshiping God. We live in a wicked world. And don't you let nobody believe it. There is hope. Out of all this bleakness, buried deep within today's lesson is some hope. But before I give you the hope, I got to tell you how you are. Because you think you are right. Because you think that you are better than Cain. You think you're better than the sons of God or the daughters of Seth. You think you are the daughters of Cain. You think you are. You think that you would have done it differently, but yet we don't. And it's evident by the way things are going in this world today. If more people were really loving God and respecting God, they would be loving each other and respecting each other. But the absence of love is hate. And where there's hate, there's wickedness. It's either for yourself or for someone else. And I find that people are so hateful of themselves that they're taking that out on other folk. If you want to die, let me just tell you something while I'm worshiping. You know, while I'm going to the centers and while I'm going in the department store, if you just hate yourself so much you want to take someone out, take yourself out and leave me alone. I want to inhale and exhale as long as I can. And yeah. I shouldn't have to escape this because I'm a part of the problem. I'm a sinner. And I got it from Brother Adam. And don't ever try to use scripture, as some have in this lesson today, to try and shift the blame to somebody else. Some of the stuff that they come up with, Reverend Calvin and I, we've had this lesson several times, and we always have this great debate. I used to, with my peers over the land, about, you know, what are you going to talk about this week, and what do you think about such and such. But there's some crazy stuff in here. This chapter right here. This chapter is talking about you before you were you. This chapter is about antediluvian man. In other words, man before the flood. Man right after Adam, Cain, and Abel. They were some rascals. And you didn't hear much about it. You really don't. Because when you read from Genesis 1 to chapter 6, you know, you see some stuff in there. You would think, well, yeah, it's so bad. It ain't so bad. But that's how it starts. It starts out so innocently. You know, just like Calvin's sermon today, you know. Oh, they little babies, they little cute. And, you know, when they hit back and, you know, as a matter of fact, Sister Kendall used to say they have a bent towards sin. They have a proclivity towards sin. You don't have to teach a baby to sin. And I wonder why that is. It's because of the nature. And we'll see this morning again where they got it from. Verse 1, chapter 6. Let's talk about worldwide wickedness and what we can do. Let's, first of all, man is ungodly. Verse 1. Now, verse 1 should be a celebratory verse. But wherever you find more people, there's just more sin. That's all it is. You know, if people get all happy about, oh yeah, my church is growing, it's just more sinners. You know, it's just more sinners. More folk, more problems. The more people, the more problems you're going to have. If you have people, you're going to have problems. Because it says right here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, something happened. Here's what happened. Verse 2. Now, how innocent is verse 2? You know, I mean, we celebrated Harry and Vanessa 33 years, you know, took a wife. That's a normal. Hey, you know, what's wrong with that, bro? They took wives. You better read scripture just a little bit closer. Because, folk, even in choosing a wife, there's a way, there's a criteria for choosing a wife and a husband. These guys, we're not talking about who they are yet. These guys were choosing fair women. Now, fair don't mean now what it meant then. Because the word in the Hebrew is the same word that Eve used back in chapter 2, chapter 3. She said, it's tov. Is good. She said the fruit is good. See, now you're trying to determine what's good. But that's up to God. Let God decide what's good. It says the sons of God, and the sons of God, let me tell you what it's not. It is not some angel. You ain't blaming the angels for this. This is you and I. In our antediluvian state, before the flood, these are just men. And we know that because despite what all the commentaries and pictures try to say that these sons of God, that's some heretical teaching, guys. And really, all you got to do is think about the virgin birth and you realize how heretical that is. Because first of all, scripture is clear. Angels don't, they're sexless. They don't have sex. So somebody is wrong. Either Hebrews or Matthew, somebody is wrong. Paul or Matthew is wrong. Jesus is wrong, if that's the case. And the issue is that whenever you're dealing with Scripture, you can only share with that which has been revealed. Matter of fact, throughout Genesis, the revelation is progressive. So up until this point, we ain't talked about no angels manifesting nothing. The issue is these sons of God, a more reasonable interpretation is that these are people out of the line of Seth, and the daughters are out of the line of Cain, since we know that Cain's what we call top tier daughter was actually called beautiful. So Cain produced some fine offspring. Yeah. But Reverend Henry would tell you that they look good. They're doing well, but they on their way to hell. And if you get yourself hooked up with a Canaan daughter, you may have a problem. If you get yourself hooked up with a Canaan son, these are representing all the what we've before is that spiritual things should not intermingle with unspiritual. Holy things, holy matters, should not hook up with unholy matters. That's all this is trying to say. In other words, you'll not be unevenly yoked. And if you even suspect that you are, before you get hooked up, you ought to run. After you get hooked up, you're just going to become a praying man or a praying woman. Because it's clear. It is their choice to say what was good over what God wanted for them. See, girls out of their line wasn't fine enough. Well, we're going to go over here. But not only that they were just looking good, Rev. Calvin, the issue was they started pulling multiples. They just had women upon women. They were going crazy. They are out of their loving minds. They are wicked in every way. So innocent. A lot of people, a lot of problems. These boys are doing what they know they shouldn't be done. And so were the women. It was an equal opportunity thing. But here's what God said.
Oh. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
The thing that gives you life, ladies and gentlemen, you can do whatever you want to do. You're bad. You got it, you do it. But the issue is, God's not going to put up with your foolishness always. Some of the stuff that we do, Gary, we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. I mean, we you know, matter of fact, there's some people, they be saying, forgive me, Lord, before they even do. They know it's wrong. But we're just going to do it. Lord, forgive me. Going in there. I mean, doing it. Just doing it. And it says right here that I'm not going to put up with it. My spirit is not always going to be with you. And as a matter of fact, there's a couple of ways to interpret this scripture here. And really, you know, it's not an essential. It's a non-essential, so we can have some liberty. I'll bear the two interpretations of this particular scripture. Some believe that the 120 years stated here is that's how long God is going to give them before he condemns them, he destroys them. And some believe that before this now, remember, they still living a long time. They, you know, I'm talking about hundreds of years. I mean, you know, your boy Noah, you know, he's gonna 500-600 years on him, Methuselah, 900 and some years. You know, so these boys, they had some, there was some time on them. But God says now, you know what? We got to shorten the time on these rascals. But does anybody understand? Did anybody stop to think about, why would God, if that's a correct interpretation, why would God want to reduce the time on them? Because the longer you live, the more time you got to sin. Oh, y'all think because people get older, they don't be sinning? I would say something right now. I would say something right now. But I know there's somebody in here, they'll come and get me out the class if I say this. But I want to say this, right? I want to say it. See, I'm just like to say, I want to say it. I know it's wrong. I'm going to leave it alone, though. But just because folk get older don't mean they sin less. We're sinners, long as you breathing. And now, I know some of you disagree with me. Oh, that's not true. Because, you know, see, you're worried about the acts. Yeah. Because you think people get older, there's certain things that they can't do. You know, see, they might not engage in as many fist fights when they get older as they did when they were younger, but they think about it. You can apply that to any of the acts you want to. They may not do it, but they think about it. And they even thought of sin. It's sin. And so God says here, I'm going to do it to 120 years. And as a matter of fact, if you later read the Psalms, you'll find that that's where we're at, our 70 to 80 now, because he even degraded that time even more, because God can't even stand the presence of sin. And as long as you inhaling and exhaling, God knows one thing, you're going to be sinning. And so, but others say, hey, it's 120 years, because it was roughly about that time that they had left before. If you look at Noah's age, by the time he completed the ark and the flood came and all of that, and we'll talk about it in a later lesson. But we see that either one of those are pretty. Verse 4 says, this is the verse. They went crazy. But I don't see anything there. Because the introductory clause in that particular verse says there were giants in the earth. But what this verse does gives us some idea into why the men were selecting the women that they were doing. Because the line of Cain was very beautiful, healthy, and we can say sports-minded, athletic, whatever. So, you know, when two pretty people get together, they're supposed to have pretty babies. That's the mentality. You know, two athletes get together, they're supposed to have athletic children. See, that their reason is flawed for doing it. But nevertheless, they were doing it. And the issue is, this giants in the world, Nephilim, you know, hey guys, they were big people, and they found, you know, that's where the Philistines came out of, that same line. And the famous Philistine was Goliath. So they're big people. It's nothing unique about that, and it wasn't because angels made it with human beings. That's heretical. Okay, I don't care how you cut it. That is heretical. Because angels are not geared. They're not predisposed. Even a fallen angel, God would not permit that sort of thing to happen. They would not have the utility to do it. Even if they could disguise themselves, and they did have manifested themselves in human form, but they don't possess the equipment to do that sort of thing, to reproduce. It's just a fact. So these people that get off on you know, some sicker thing, more classically the Mormons and a few others, you know, this guy Messler running around, perpetuated that foolishness for years. But the issue is that these were just men. And see what happens if you put it on the angels, that's what they say. Well, them fallen angels did that. Men didn't do that. Nah, men did this. Godless, wicked men. Picking and choosing. Sleeping with everybody, marrying these women, treating them all kinds of ways. And God says, my spirit ain't gone. I can't let this go on. I can't let the old cooter like this be running around, you know, for no 900 years acting the fool, you know. Y'all forgive me, but. And verse 5 says,
and God saw that the wickedness of the man was great in the earth.
Now, wait a minute. Did it say that Noah saw, or Cain saw, or Seth saw, Adam saw? It said that. God looked at this and said, man, you little devil. And you know what, folk? Whenever we do something right today, God is looking at us that way and saying, you little devil. Why so wicked? Oh, he knows exactly why. You have that Cainian spirit in you. And a whole and some of you can't even blame Cain. Some of you just got your own spirit. He says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every what?
Imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you talking about wicked. Can we talk? Yeah. These folk were flat wicked. You know what the scripture says there, Sylvia? It says that they thought about evil all the time. In other words, the way that phrase is hooked up, it suggests, Rob, that there was not a moment or second that they didn't think about. Okay, let's go back. It's the same phrase when David says, I will continually praise. His praise shall continually be in my mind. In other words, David said, I ain't stopping. I'm just going to pray. That's the same phrase. Here's what they said. I'm going to do wicked. I'm going to think, I'm a freak. I'm a freak from way back. I got freakish thoughts. I got freakish ways. I'm a freak. I'm going to act like a freak. I'm going to do it every minute of every second of every day. And God says, that's wicked that you would sit up. And let me tell you something. If you think that that has stopped, you just think about what happened yesterday morning. You think about what happened the other day. These guys, they think about and they hear stuff and then they go think about it again and then they hear stuff and they write stuff and they post stuff and they blog. You know what? That's continually thinking about evil. I'm going to get him. Oh, he's against me. She don't like her. That's crazy. And you know what? When you start talking about imagination now, it means that they not only think about what he said and what she said, they create stuff. So in other words, the freak ain't just content with things that are normally freakish. They come up with crazy stuff. Because it is crazy to think that you can put something in a mailbox and that it's going to reach a former president of the United States. How foolish can you be? But see, that's how the mind, the imagination. When you think about it, you have all this time to think about how to do something. And then it is the stupidest thing in the world. You did all this planning and crafting because it's based on wickedness. You ought to take that creativity and maybe you'll find a cure for cancer. You ought to take that creativity and maybe you'll find some great individual, but yet they rather run around and van and you know and listen to folk who, you know what? Those folk out there that's talking that stuff, they talk bad, but they ain't bad. Let me tell you one thing. There's a certain things that I can say and do in this setting because I know I got Keith Edmondson and Harry and Robert. Ain't nobody gonna bother me. So I can say it. You see what I'm saying, Amanda? I can say it. Ain't nobody gonna bother me. Take away the security. Catch me in another element. I hold my wife real tight. They're like, he sure love her. No, I'm using her as a shield. Hey, these guys are big and bad. They talk, they blow hard, and they excite some person who is not put together, who has no God in them. Because let me tell you something, you got to be devoid of all divine content if you're going to sit up and think of a way how you can murder folk who in their church.
Yeah, right.
But you all right. You see them in this, oh yes, sir. See them in the neighborhood, you be thinking, oh, upstanding citizen. People want to cross the street when they see you, embrace him.
All right,
oh y'all better hear me this morning.
Because
we are crazy. Our imaginations have run away with us, and it's totally wicked. The people that we need to be avoiding, we embracing. That includes Boo Boo and all of them. We ain't afraid of them. I'm afraid of anybody who's gonna hurt me. Let me refine that a little bit, because I want to be accurate. I'm afraid of anybody who's gonna hurt me, or I might have to hurt. Okay, I just want to make it fair. Because, you know, you got an imagination, I got imagination.
Right.
My imagination is about living.
Yes.
But here, God says, you've thought about stuff continually, and it's wicked. You don't ever put it far from your mind. And let me tell you something, folks. While we're chastising these boys, these sons of God and daughters of Cain, we do the same thing. Some of that stuff that we mull around in our mind, it's just flat wicked. You've been thinking of a way to get back at her forever. You've been going to church with this woman for 14 years, and you're trying to get her. At every opportunity, this guy has gone on thinking that you are cool in every way, and you're trying to think of a ways to stick it to him. And you know what? You know what, Gary? They so stupid. You know what they say? They tell Gary, my best friend, that they trying to stick it to me. Like he ain't gonna tell it. But that's what this imagination will do. But it's very destructive. It'll kill you, folk. Because God ain't gonna put up with this much longer. Billy Graham's wife was right. Ruth Graham was right. If God lets us, America, if God lets resurrection, if God lets Covenant, First Baptist, Antioch, and any of those other arcs, if he don't deal with them, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah.
Wickedness. Wickedness. He says they, and the thing about it is, guys, I don't know about you, but there are times when I've done something or say something, and I go to pray at night. I mean, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. How did I get there? And it reminds me of how I used to have to deal with grandmama. Because when you know you've done something wrong, and you know she knows it, you'll be so embarrassed. Boy, how in the world could you do something like that? I know why. Because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. If you take and put something in that imagination other than some old foolishness that you want to post on get somebody back on Facebook, if you go to the Word of God and you read that, Lord, let your word be a light to my pathway, a lamp to my walkway. Lord, Lord, order my steps in your word. You know, learn some Bible verses instead of some slick cliches for Facebook. Vain imaginations. And verse 6.
And he repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and he grieved him at his heart.
Okay, this is where I'm supposed to be a teacher. Okay, all right. Verse 6, ladies and gentlemen. When it says it repented the Lord, please don't write me, don't call me, don't text me, don't do nothing about it. I thought you told me that God was immutable, that he didn't change. What does repent mean? That means change of mind. Well, there's a term. Actually, there's two terms that are represented here in this particular passage. One, you know, because you've been to basic doctrine, we talk about anthropomorphicism or fic. You know, there are things that we ascribe to deity or an object also, but mostly deity, that, in other words, we can't explain the form, so we use something that man can understand. So if we say he repented or changed his mind, you know what that is. But that doesn't adequately describe what God. In this particular case, it says that it repented him, Gary, and it grieved him. So now it's ascribing an emotion to it. And most folk, because they know anthropomorphism, they do that. But actually, this is what you call an anthropatheism. It's just with the P rather than the O. What he does here is that it ascribes an emotion, grief. Now, for God to grieve, it would be like he would be surprised. Well, we know one thing about God that would make that impossible. What is that? Even my basic doctrine student. I want nobody to respond but basic doctrine student. What do we know about God that makes that crazy? That's right. He's omniscient. So he ain't surprised by nothing. God prepared for your sin before you ever got here. And the scripture is clear. Yeah. So can you tell me why these people are going crazy over verse 6? That God repented, God changed his mind. I thought God never changes his mind. Are you crazy? God told you in chapter 3 how he was going to deal with sin. In chapter 3, he told them. So in chapter 6, it's just saying the writer is saying, God said, You know how it is? Y'all ever went before Big Mama? She said, can't believe this boy belonged to me.
Right.
I can't believe he belonged to me. Notice, she didn't say, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he belonged to me. That's what God says. God said, why in the world? How in the world I let y'all get here? But it's like that bubble in his mind. But we don't know that, because God is deity. He doesn't have those kinds of emotions. But that's the only way that we can describe it so that we can understand it. Okay? So, he looked at him, he probably said, man, I'm sure sorry I made that, Phyllis. You know, I tell you, I'm going to do something about this right now. Because I'm greedy. I got a heavy heart. I ain't Linda Baines Johnson, but I got a heavy heart. These folk got to do, I got to do something about this. See, because at some point in time, folk, and we don't know when, we don't know where, it's just like death, judgment's going to come. God's going to get sick of our mess at some point in time. So you can be out there slipping and sliding. And because that's what people do who will not accept Jesus Christ. You've heard folks say, well, I ain't got time for that right now. Well, who promised you later? You don't know when the hammer's going to fall.
But it says here, he grieved, was grieved in his heart, and here's what God said. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and
and
for it. It ain't the networks, folk. But y'all remember the show? Y'all remember what the guy said? I'm mad as hell and I ain't taking it no more. God says, I am going to erase, I'm going to eradicate that which I created. I'm going to start all over again. He says both. Your sin has so cursed creation, you have spoiled everything around it. The trees, the foul of the air. Your sin is not just between you and you. Your sin is affecting the entire environment. And God says, I'm going to stop this. We got to reset this. Because these jokers are going to live a long time. One day is really too long. But I'll give them 120 more years. But they got to go. Because God can't even stand to be in the presence of sin. And now he's got all of y'all running around. Think about that. Every time you want to get even with someone else, every time you want to judge somebody else for what they're doing, just stand in front of the mirror. Because the thing of it is, we get all excited that we are not involved in the big sins. See, what we call big sins. That's right. God doesn't see it that way. God sees the smallest thing that you do. The smallest thing that you could think, that you could think of, God's got something even smaller than that, more microscopic than that, and he thinks it's wrong. So every time that sister of yours gets on her, on your nerve, every time that husband of yours, you know, you want to say something bad, you don't want to spit out something. Every time that wife is like, I wish I had a new wife, you know. You think about your relationship with God and how God must be thinking about you. Because you know what he's saying? He's saying, I can't believe you know me and you act like that. Now, folks, the closest thing to it, for those of you who have children, is that when you got a good kid, smart, they're doing stuff, they're involved, and then they go out and do something stupid that's totally antithetical to what you've taught them. That is, let me tell you something, folks. For those of you who haven't had kids, you don't know what that feeling is. That's the most hurtful thing in the world. And it could be something simple, I mean, in the minds of all. But if I told you, I told you. So nobody's embarrassed. I told them, don't get no credit card. You want something? Come to your daddy. Come on from college. Got me four credit cards. Gary, we told them. We told them. I'm going to tell you, I'm hurt. You say, well, Bruce Lee, that's just a little small. No, it ain't. Because what you're doing, you're starting down a road that will cripple you, that will have you viewing people that I have an opportunity to view now. You know, one of the worst things in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and most of y'all are not there yet, to be in your 60s and not know how you're going to make it. for the rest of your life. That's tough. That when you're in, you're a 60-year-old and your month is longer than your money. That's a problem. But you can always trace it back. Because all of us had that same opportunity. Do you realize there was a lady, this is back in the 80s or 90s, that worked for a family in Mississippi, never made more than like, I think it was like $15 to $25 a week, gave one of the largest endowments ever given to the University of Mississippi. Never made more than $15, $25 a week. And you know what? I know that's true. Yes, sure did. Sure did. Oh, well, I mean, it was huge, one of the largest ones at that time. But you know what? She listened. Because see, folk out of depression told you, don't spend everything you got. I don't care if you got a dime, you make sure you got at least two of them pennies left. Don't spend all your money. Because there will come a time you will want that. You don't spend all your youth on foolishness. There's got to be something serious in your life as a youth. Don't come tell me, oh, well, boys will be boys. Nah. Many of us have made mistakes. We were hard-headed, did not listen, and we're suffering from it right now. I mean, it may not be a big-time suffering, but you're not where you should be. This morning, it's quiet. Deacon Newsom, you and Keith, please stand by the door because I'm getting ready to run. Because, see, the thing about it, that's missing perfection. God is always counseling us through his word. He's telling us what to do, what not to do, and then we're going out doing the exact opposite. And he's saying, what's so hard about that, TG? What's so hard about doing what I asked you to do? You know better. You're one of the ones down there to be praying before you even do it, and you're still going and do it. You ain't got no excuse. Because we're wicked. We ain't right. We're crooked. So now all of creation has got to be affected, Amanda, because of something these boys wanted to do. See, there was no harm. Boys will be boys. What's wrong? We're having a little fun. A few girls here on the side, a few girls there on the side, a few guys on the side, you know. And that's all right till the thrill is gone. Well, let me tell you one thing. I can promise you, I can say with certainty that everything, all you 20-year-olds, all you 30-year-olds, all you 40-year-olds, even you 50-year-olds, all you the things that y'all think are so beautiful and wonderful now, the thrill will be gone. It's just a matter of time. You know, Brooke Benton was right. It's just a matter of time. It'll be gone. What do you do when the thrill is gone? And you have to face your maker for the foolishness that you've lived. What do you do? What do you say? You have to come with clean hands. Father, I'm wicked. Do what you must do. And verse 8 popped up and slapped him right in the head. Verse 8, y'all got to read it. Because y'all were down. Listen, they were so down. They were so down. Verse 8, what does it say?
But the Lord found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Out of all this despair, God says there's one person who's living right. That's your hope. One person. One person we will see after the flood. This is antediluvian. After the flood, God will make that same assessment and ask them. He says, if you just find one person, I'll save the whole city. Please be that one person. I can't do it. But Brenda, would you take it up the slack for me? You be that one person. Save us all. Because he says that Noah found grace because he was living right. There was somebody. And God looked and says, you know what? I'm not going to destroy everything and everybody. I'm going to talk to Noah because Noah will listen. And verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. And Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, because he walked with God, God is getting ready to do something. Because once you find favor in God, God will pull out of his eraser, but he won't erase you. He'll erase all your mistakes. That's the wonderful thing about the God that we serve, is that despite all the wickedness, and ladies and gentlemen, I was sharing with my, and he just left, my accountability partner the other night, that one of my top students in evangelism quit because they were not sinners. They didn't embrace the fact that they were sinners. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, you sin. The issue is, you got to confess that sin. You got to go before God, and you got to stay on it. You know, matter of fact, I don't even let the line get cold, because I know somebody don't do something, say, somebody, hey, it ain't me. Somebody don't do something. I'm a deacon, so I have to pray for, you know, and Barbara Walker is one of my members, so I'm always having to pray for her, you know. So I keep the line open. If not for me, for her. Because you gotta ask for forgiveness if you're going to find favor. But the grace of God in the midst of wickedness. But this student that was saying, she quit because Jeffrey Dahmer, those of you who are familiar, accepted Christ in prison. And here's what she said. Top evangelism student. If Jeffrey Dahmer is going to be in heaven, send me straight to hell. The issue is, Dahmer was a sinner. He did some wicked stuff. But in the sight of God, you are just as wicked. You ain't murdered nobody. You certainly ain't ate up nobody. But you are just as wicked. But even in that wickedness, God offers grace. As bad as things are, there's still an opportunity for that man yesterday. Went in there and shot up that place. Don't know his status, but assuming that he's not saved, there's still a chance. He was spared. He didn't die. And you're going to have to accept him. He can come right here, sit right beside you, Porter. You'd have to embrace him. He could go in that synagogue where he shot up. Yeah. And they'd have to embrace him. Oh, God. Because what we need more righteous folk. Yeah. We need folk who are going to follow God instead of our wicked imaginations. We got to stop thinking about all this crazy, freakish stuff and start thinking about God. And that's what it is. Wait, God is a secondary thing, folks. I'm going to tell you, that the guy that briefed y'all a week or so ago saying that resurrection is an anomaly, that you guys are an exceptional church in many ways, you are. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole bunch of folk don't care nothing about no God. They don't care about your church. They don't care about God. They don't care about giving to God. They don't care about sharing with others. They are just flat wicked. And with all those wicked folk out there, you remember one thing. They can hurt you. You can hurt somebody. You better let that stuff go that's bothering you. You better let all that ill will for others. They did you wrong, fine. Hey, you lost something, you'll get another one. Oh, easy. But let me tell you, the math doesn't add up. Millions in verse 1 were being added to the population. One was staying with God. Millions added and departing from God, but one remained. And because of one remained, they'll come back next week and we'll find out what happened.